I'm Samuel Obimakinde, PNG.
Thank you. Intervention from the province action teams and our organization teams, they will be our reserve capacity to deploy on demand in terms of early warning. So the reserve capacity then will be there to support the public audit committee in the areas we do need to deal with any issues in the metropole or beyond the metropole if it's spread out. We will have constant monitoring. There will be a nodal point established at the Provincial Operational Command Centre, and the JOC will be activated. And we will also link up with the Provincial Disaster Risk Management Nodal Point, where all the incidents will come through. We've already, in fact, technology so that we can have a direct link and we can have all the images and footages will be able to come through the operational command centre, and we will also be able to video conference and speak to one another on a daily basis. And in the prop job, will be activated the moment the EU declaration on day zero. In terms of our proposed deployment, this is just a breakdown per cluster, so we will see that there's about 600 and 500 currently that we'll be standing on 187 pods, where we have graded the pods as high, medium or low. We are standing on 578 static deployments of SAPS members, traffic members, metro members and law enforcement. We do need to bear in mind that this is a continuous plan, and as we progress, it will be adapted according to the information provided by the ICC. And for the metropole, 18 SANDF members, and then the additional 15 that will also be responsible for escorting. Then, just to give a further indication, we will see that this is all the identified and graded pods where we've already graded them as medium, low, high, per cluster area, as indicated. We've indicated there the amount of high, the amount of low, and the amount of medium risk already, and this is just going into the finer detail concerning where are the in the different areas. If we have a look and see, we'll see in terms of blue down cluster, the majority of the pods in the blue down cluster, which includes the Claims Bay area, the Mussolini area, the Bella area, is all high risk pod areas. If we have a look at Cape Town, we continue with the rest of the clusters, we see the majority of Cape Town's pods is low risk, going to Kailicha. There's high risk and low risk areas, as well as at Northern Cluster, we will see the majority is high risk, and Tableview, Northern Atlantis is high, Tableview is low risk. And then we'll see in Nyanga and Chokplain Cluster, the majority is high risk spots in terms of the areas where they're located and the current nature of what is happening there. In the younger cluster, we'll also see majority is high risk. And in the fiber cluster, we will see that Kraaifontein is considered as an area where the pods are high risk, followed by the rest of the areas which are low risk areas. And in wider cluster, final cluster, we are dealing with medium and low risk border distribution points. As we are continuing, with our water crisis and the grassroots instruction, we are represented on the Provincial Disaster Risk Management job. We work jointly there with the Provincial Disaster Risk Management on a weekly basis. We are represented on the work stream, the safety and security work stream, which we attend and with the City of Cape Town, where the chairperson is Director Rice, appointed by the City of Cape Town. And we also represented on the work stream dealing with the water distribution points, the pods alone. As we are getting more and more information from these different structures, we will continue to work on the contingency plan regarding our safety and security. We are also currently in the process, we have done a lot of work pertaining to how we can the declaration of day zero, and we need to ensure that over and above the public instability issues pertaining to the water distribution courses and the requirements from the SAPS, as well as all the other law enforcement agencies, to deploy and to ensure stability at all these water distribution points, that the normal policing functions will continue, and we will ensure that we will be able to deal with sector policing as well as our normal policing functions, as well as making provision for all these facilities and our health facilities. Thank you very much.
And then also the community, the metrics in each and every community differ. The dynamics differ. The lived experiences of people differ. So what my fear is that the community dynamics may change overnight. We may have plans in place. I'm glad there's going to be early detection, warning signs, and identification of possible risks. understand my circumstances as well. I need more water, not what you say or what the limit has been stipulated. I have a big family now. My question is, what is the possibility that some community members, because of all that I say, may circumvent, or even there may be a breach in terms of the stipulation, in terms of securing water, that family members, there may be, say, maybe 13 or 14 family members who are not family members, but they collect water at the point and they get away with it. The civil unrest is sometimes never phased in. It happens in a split second that you can I'm not a doom prophet, but I'm just here the reality. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Radio stations or for communication. we are talking about this issue, and will the marketing of the plan when it comes to the application of the plan at that time when we begin to execute the plan how is the system of the other plan that these will kick in and all the issues will be addressed? In another Landberg, I would like you to deal with the issue of people that are collecting more water than they are supposed to be collecting. Civil unrest, as I say, wherever the civil unrest is, put our resources on that hotspot in terms of our members, in terms of our Chopra and the other patrols. We shall also do what we call Chopra drops, where we use the army helicopter to take members from here to drop there where they are needed. So all those systems will be applied so that we are spent responding swiftly and effectively.
Thank you, Mr. General. This basically indicates that we already secured the Centre for One and Command Centre with the City of Cape Town and with the Chopra Delta as management, that we will continue to have water supply so that we can ensure that we can deliver service to the community, because that is part of our critical areas that we need to ensure that we continue. Then we also currently have negotiations with them indicating that the members actually deployed at the park tank to get the water where they're working. That is all the processes we're putting in place in terms of our business plan to ensure that the members that need to render the services statically at the park, that they will have the assurance, I don't have to worry about collecting my water and standing in the queue at the park because I will be able to collect it where I am working. That is all part of our business plan. Then we also are looking at the normal things like the JoJo tanks we've applied and procured. We're looking at a wall that some of our institutions, like our training institutions, we need to ensure that we can continue with training of new staff members and that we don't leave them because we can't ensure that we have water supply. That is all the discussions that are currently taking place to ensure that at least the services can continue. The members don't have to worry to understand the queue to collect water because they will be able to get it there when they are statically deployed. It will be on a 24-hour basis, so if there is 5 staff members deployed at a high risk, we will work with a relief, and as the General indicated, we are putting transportation plans in place that we don't have issues with everybody. They need to get there, and now they need to collect members, and we will have a breakdown in your services. So that is all part of our own business plan that we are developing as we are going on and as we are securing from the Provincial Disaster Risk Management and other role players that are part of the PROC joint, that this is the services that we are going to put in place, and this is our other role players that are going to support to ensure that SAPS can continue rendering the services. Then in terms of the distribution to Mr. Wiley, is the informal settlement or all our areas there, water supply will not be affected. They will continue to have water supply. As per the information, it is already a distribution point because it's already serving quite a number of members of that community that are staying in that area. So there's not specifically a water distribution point, and we are beefing up our deployment in that area with provincial intervention capacity to then, in terms of crime intelligence, the ITC, which is the Integrated Intelligence Coordinating Committee, is fully on board and they have been established. It comprises of FSA, the State Security Agency, FNDS, as well as SAPS Crime Intelligence. So it's not only merely just SAPS Crime Intelligence, it's an integrated approach that will look holistically at all the threats. Then we are also working very closely with the City of Cape Town and Water and Sanitation. We have already established links with the Blue Scorpion. These on a weekly basis, there's action, and we are supporting the City of Cape Town with a weekly action pertaining to the current level 16. 16 restrictions and the contraventions of the level 16 restrictions that law enforcement and Metro are currently dealing with. We are supporting them in terms of joint actions that we are having with them. Then we will look at the grading of the cost, but as requested, we will look at the different areas as the many requests that we must do, specifically the Nyanga, the Transfer, and the Mtuleni areas. If there's anything else I haven't covered, I'm more responding. Thank you.
Yeah, we also wonder about that, that our members as well are being educated about this. It's not a question of on the day of day, you know, they will be going out there for the first time. There is stimulation that is in place and that is integrated with the other forces, law enforcement, natural traffic, and other forces to ensure that as well they understand what it will be about and also expectations in terms of service delivery to the recipient of the police service, integrated police service. Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you for the answers. I just want to raise an issue. Because there's a perception that Day Zero is a one-day event, a one-day run. It's not. When it starts, it'll probably be D+30, D+60, maybe even D+90. But in the 14 days, intensity is going to sit into the situation. So you have to build into your contingencies a resupply of manpower, and then it's going to take more than just the security force, it's going to take a lot of sorts of cooperation. What I'm really concerned about in this presentation is that you told me that SAND is going to supply 140 people. 140 people is the equivalent of a company plus. A company is only about 130, so it's 140. And they're going to be broken up into transport escorts as well as 10 per trust, which is as open as you can get. We've got 4 infantry regiments in the Western Cape alone. We've got a naval reaction force, which is about 140 people alone. So I'd like to know, and I know it's not your responsibility, but General, I'd like you to carry across a concern, I hope in the committee will see, is that if this is the best that the SANDF can do as far as the commitment level of concern, it's just not good enough. 140 people is really not sufficient. They need to, they might be in the first week, might be fine, but you're going to have a guarantee of a resupply of manpower from that third level. If you're committing your high-risk spots, 450 of SAPS members to your high-risk spot alone, and they're going to be winning 140, that just doesn't make sense.
Much more work is done in preparation for the load shedding where generators and borders be stationed. Are you looking at long term for people in various central harvesting and feed stations, those companies to make stations themselves more resilient to the dry climate in the Western Cape?
Yeah, I'm definitely responding not for the army, but for the Air Force when I help us with this one, for the Air Force. Yeah, the army, we take note of the comment, and that as we go back into the front lines, which I'm so also investing into take this input so that what can be enhanced, what we think that can be enhanced and be better. But our approach is that even the Western Cape SARS is not alone in this. There is a national and other provinces, if need be, there's also a national office that should be assisting if need be. That is our understanding, that we should be assisted if need be, but we believe that with this capability that we have and are deployed, we shall be able to deal with the situation as such. But the army, we shall take this, and to say this is a concern from the committee. Do you have anything?
Madam Chair, thanks. I think from our side, we've initiated acquisition around 50 of children's tanks. We requested National Wear the expenditures about our threshold, and then also with most of our police stations, as you'll know, they're not necessarily involved police stations, so we presently in negotiations with Public Works.
None of those are